And a big old howdy and a yee-haul again to everybody out there. Welcome again to the Blitz episode, I think, 5 of the division breakdowns. Tonight we're going to be talking about the NFC North, which is going to be a pretty fun division. There's quite a few good players in there. What really surprised me about this division is that there's so many good players, but there's a lack of players too. There really isn't a whole lot of depth on any one of these teams, I noticed while I was building that going. But first, let me just introduce everybody who's here with me tonight. On my left, I got my man Alex. What's going on, Alex?
What's up? Nothing much. Ready to talk NFC North. That's my I'll try not to be biased, but I can't help it if I am.
Right. Well, Packers fans be Packers fans. You know how that goes. And then the guy to his left, we got George. George, what's happening, my man?
Hey, not much. You want to hear a couple of interesting facts about the NFC North, Mike?
Yes.
So when Aaron Rodgers was drafted, he was sitting on the bench while Mitch Trubisky was going to the Pro Bowl. And the Packers thought so little of Aaron Rodgers, they draft Jordan Love to replace him. And how good is Jordan Love? Think about that.
Yeah, another Mitchell Trubisky shot there.
I got to get him in when I can.
You have to, because you're going to be running out of those here pretty soon, because he's going to fade away into nothingness. Below me, I got my man Joe. What's happening, Joe? How we doing?
Not too bad. I'm looking at these running backs, and all 4 starting running backs are ranked in the top 20 for fantasy for 2022.
So now the running backs have a lot of good looks in them right there. It's the receiving corps that I was actually kind of shocked with the depth on those, on a lot of these teams, the teams that I thought that were making good moves. And evidently they didn't make as many good moves as I thought. And then surely last but not least, we got our man Homeless Jason. He was actually arrested for panhandling, but he bailed out just in time, make it to the show tonight. Jason, how are we doing?
I got out just before I got molested in jail, so I'm good. We're good.
That's what you call good timing right there, is right before the molestation start, you know. Yeah. Depending on your stick, you know. I mean, there's a lot of people that might want to be into that.
Rumor is he was disappointed.
How do you know? Very disappointed.
Let me stay.
How do you know you were about to be molested? Is there just like a different feel in the air?
It's when you ask for it.
Saggy pants, the whole works.
We were right there.
We'll go through all the housekeeping stuff real quick. Make sure you're following us on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Facebook, Podbean, When a Family Breaks, or the Card Collection Facebook now. There's only a couple spots left in Frankenstein. Get them while they're hot. I think there really is only 2 spots left right now. Yep. So if you want in on that, now's the time to get in there. It's a really fun time. And make sure you guys are going to toiletsandtitles.com. The best videos, articles, and fantasy content. We just got a new writer on board. Welcome there, Mr. Steele. Chuck. We'll just say that. Chuck Steele. Welcome to the team. We can't wait to see a little bit more of what this guy has to offer. I read one of his articles already, and it was good. Really good, actually. And make sure you're on patreon.com, Toilets the Titles. A cup of coffee, guys. Buy us a cup of coffee so we can keep this content coming at you fresh. And with that, we're going to go ahead and just kick on into it. First off, we're going to go ahead and start off with the Bears. The Bears. We got Justin Fields at quarterback. We got Trevor Siemian backing him up. Running backs, we got David Montgomery, Khalil Herbert, Darrington Evans, which is one of my favorite running backs. He's really fun to follow on Twitter as the running back. And then we got Darnell Mooney, Equanimeous St. Brown, Byron Pringle, Tajay Sharpe, and Dante Pettis at wide receiver. That was one I was really shocked at, is seeing Dante Pettis on.
That's one overhauled receiving core in general.
Right. Yeah,
Mooney's the only one from last year, right?
Yep. Correct. Yep. Every single one of those guys is from a different team. And then Cole Kmet and Ryan Griffin making an appearance in the tight end pecking order again. George, we're going to go ahead and start with you I would start with Alex right here, but I'm going to go ahead and let him kick off the Packers for us tonight.
Yeah. So what can we tell you about the Bears? That's good. Last year they were horrible. They were the 27th ranked offense and the 22nd ranked defense. And what did they do to improve either one of those this offseason? Really not a whole lot. They traded away probably one of their top defensive players in Khalil Mack. They decided to not really let Allen Robinson go, but they didn't bring him back. And to replace him, I mean, look at their list of just Jags. Hot, steamy garbage that they have outside of Mooney. It's really, really bad. I'm not interested in this team at all. Give me a couple of running backs. I like Montgomery. I like Herbert. But, man, this team is going to be so bad. I feel so bad for Justin Fields. Like, I just
they really look like they set this kid up for failure this year. This does not look like a receiving core that will be dazzling. Joe, what are your thoughts on this? You look like you got something to say here.
You guys should just be able to read my lips by this
point. Well, so what Joe was doing is he was censoring himself so Justin doesn't have to go in and check the not safe for work box on YouTube.
that's true. David Montgomery gets undervalued a little bit every year for whatever reason. I mean, I guess 16 feels about right, which is where Fantasy Pros has him, but I feel like there'll be some weeks from a DFS perspective that he'll have some value. And if he was my number two going into a regular league, I'd be okay with that. I was trying to look up where Mooney's going right now. Obviously is their WR1, but I mean, I don't know. I guess Fields is a super flex quote QB2 and Mooney's like a wide receiver 3 to start the season. That's probably the best you're going to get out of those.
I think Mooney has a chance to creep up in that wide receiver 2 if they do, because they did have a pretty good connection last year, even with Fields. It was more with Andy Dalton, but I'm sure with another offseason they can put something together. But he's going to be seeing all the coverage because of all the other wide receivers are trash. So
the problem I have with Mooney is the fact that he's going 60. So right now his ADP 68 on Fantasy Pros. He's going ahead of Brandon Cooks. I want Brandon Cooks. He's going ahead of Allen Robinson. I take a shot on Allen Robinson. He's going ahead against Adam Thielen, and we'll talk about Thielen here later. And he's going right behind Jerry Jeudy. So, like, the majority of wide receivers he's going around, I want them and not him. And like you said, I the problem I did have is most of his stats, looking back at it, happened with Andy Dalton and not with Justin Fields. Now, Justin Fields is on year 2, so hopefully he takes a giant step forward. But like you said, he's going to see all the cornerback ones. There's not another decent wide receiver to speak of. Pringle had his wasn't he in a DUI recently? Like, so who knows if he's going to be even on the field to start. And then you've got wide receivers like Equanimeous St. Brown and Tajay Sharpe, like Dante Pettis. Those, nobody else on that field gives you any pause. So, like, you can roll coverage that way. I do love Montgomery, considering points per game he's finishing top 12 like the last 2 years. So if you keep allowing me to draft him as a running back 2, I'm going to keep taking him and getting running back 1 performances from him. So I do like that. It's not like there's, it's not like they've got a backup. I like Herbert. He's a good running back, but you know, when Montgomery came back, they gave it to him and let him run with it. So like to me, Mooney is, I'm not taking Mooney at his ADP, but Montgomery's the guy I want. And, you know, maybe a late round stash on Fields if you think he's going to run. I don't see that either.
Yeah, I agree with Jason. I do like David Montgomery. He was injured a little bit last year. So, he didn't eclipse 1,000 yards rushing. He only rushed for about 850. But he had 7 touchdowns. The games that he did play in, like, you know, he performed well. You don't really think of David Montgomery as a receiving back, but in 13 games last year, I mean, he had 42 receptions on 51 targets. Granted, most of that was with Andy Dalton, but I don't foresee, you know, a world where he's still not, you know, heavily involved in the passing game just due to the lack of options. Cole Kmet is, in my opinion, you know, he's one of those boom bust tight ends. He'll go out and some weeks he'll boom for you. The rest of the week, you know, he's going to give you the 4 catches for 35 yards. You're hoping and praying to God he falls in the end zone. And that's hoping that, and I don't know if he's still on the team or not, but if Jimmy Graham's there, like last year they looked for Jimmy Graham in the end zone. Like, it was ridiculous how many times you would get to the red zone and they were throwing the ball targeting Jimmy Graham. So it's, I mean, it's.
Yeah. My last question with the Bears, and I guess I think about DFS a little bit, like, and somebody already asked, somebody said Fields with the running. So there's a big difference there with me. If Fields is going to run and you're going to get 50, 60 rushing yards a week from him, and then he's going to turn 4 or 5 rushing touchdowns, you know, now you're talking about he's going to be close to 20 points a week DFS. He's going to be really cheap early in the season. That could be a really nice, you know, a really nice tourney play. But that, I don't know what your guys' insight is. He going to run? Is he going to be good? Are they going to be that aggressive with him on the ground? Or do you think they're going to hold back from that perspective?
I think they're going to have no choice, honestly. I don't think that they're going to be able to, because with this core lineup right here, there's only really 3 people that stand out to me, and this is anytime I see a new quarterback or a growing quarterback going in there. I like to see running backs, and I like to see tight ends. So I feel like Montgomery and Kmet might be decent adds. Montgomery, of course. I mean, Montgomery should have a beast of a season with this line, with this lineup. And I think Fields is going to have no choice but to run. I think they're going to see themselves getting into a lot of situations where they're going to have to move that ball other than passing, because when your wide receiver 2 is Equanimeous St. Brown, you're in pretty big trouble. Although he could take a step up. I mean, you got to understand, he really wasn't getting a whole lot of attention over there in Green Bay, but he, if anybody's going to give you the attention, it's going to be Aaron Rodgers if you deserve it. So I don't see that going any well.
Yeah. And not that we have to dwell on the Bears, but they did the exact opposite of what like the Jets did with Zach Wilson, right? Like the Jets are loading up on talent and wide receiver, and maybe some of those guys won't pan out, but they're drafting guys, they're throwing guys, they signed Corey Davis, they got a new running back, you know, beefing up the offensive line, and the Bears just went like, yeah, Justin, you're on your own.
Well, the Jets also set themselves up really nice, you know, in the drafts, and they were able to, you know, get some, you know, big name or bigger names out of the drafts the last 2 years. You know, the Bears have not done that for themselves. They traded up last year to get Fields, and then they did nothing with their, did they even have a first? They didn't even have a first round pick this year. I don't think, I forget what they used it for, but they didn't even have a first round pick. So
to get Fields.
Did they though?
Is that, I think they traded this year's first to get Fields, but somebody will fact check me on that.
Yeah, that's possible. But I know they didn't have one this year, so they didn't even have a chance to build anything around them. But I thought for sure in free agency they'd do a little bit more to shore it up. But I guess they think Montgomery can carry them all the way. I don't know.
Hey, he's going to have a bad back by about week 3 carrying this team, I imagine.
And that's one reason why I like grabbing Herbert late. Like, I love backup running backs to begin with. But if Montgomery's going to be getting, you know, the same workload he's been getting, he's like a Chris Carson. He just loves running into people. So, and that leads to injury. So yeah. I like having Herbert in my back pocket on as many teams as I possibly can.
So if you look at the draft for this past year, the Bears did not have a first round pick. They spent a second round pick, number 39 overall, on Kyler Gordon. They spent another second round, 48th overall, on Jaquan Brisker. They drafted wide receiver Velus Jones Jr., who we really didn't talk about. They drafted an offensive tackle, an edge, an offensive line, and a running back in the later rounds. So they even in the draft, they did very little to help support Justin Fields. So it's going to be an ugly season for the Bears. I can honestly see them having a top 5 pick next year.
We got Jared Gray chiming in. He says, Alex should let that hair flow. Hashtag AJ Hawk. I love it. I love it. Get that free. But I also support the bun. We're going to go ahead and go kick into the better team here, which is weird to say out loud because the Lions are somehow better than the Bears. They're led by Jared Goff, David Blau. At quarterback, we got DeAndre Swift, Jamal Williams, Craig Reynolds at running back, DJ Chark. We got Williams, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Quentin Cephas, and Ryan Reynolds and Khalif Raymond at wide receiver. TJ Hawkinson and Brock Wright at tight end. Joe, I'll go ahead and let you lead this off. Jameson Williams. Sorry, I couldn't remember the damn guy's name there for a second. Jameson Williams, which is a huge ad for this team.
That's a you're following the depth charts there, right? In that order. St. Brown's third on the depth chart.
Yep. So now you got to understand they have that's in a wide receiver three pattern too. So
right.
He's in the slot. He's in the slot in that situation.
He's still a starter. Yeah. You know, there's actually some real, especially Daly too. Like Goff's going to have some huge games where he throws for 400 yards, two touchdowns, and four interceptions. They're going to lose, but that's going to translate into a great fantasy yay. It's going to be great DFS value there. DeAndre Swift, obviously, the big thing there is, can he stay on the field? Jamal Williams is actually, I would imagine Alex likes Jamal Williams as a backup running back too, because he's actually pretty talented in addition to being a backup to a guy that gets hurt.
Yeah.
Well, he's a body, that's for sure. I like him as a person more than I like him as a football player. I think he's just a very average running back, in NFL terms. I don't think he's anything special.
And then you got a little bit of play with the wideouts, probably more DFS wise than you would right off the bat in like a regular league. Hawkinson, obviously, is he considered top five, maybe right outside of top five for tight ends?
I think he's in the top five. So
this is one of those teams where like it's a shit team, but you're going to get some production from them fantasy wise because they're giving up 40 a week and they're going to have some weeks where they score 25 and have over 400 total yards of offense.
I bet Fields was looking at this lineup going, damn, I wish I had something even kind of.
You know, it's funny, but you're right.
Yeah.
Big difference.
Yeah. I mean, they quietly have a really good, as Jared says, quietly have a very good wide receiver group. DJ Chark, we'll see what he can do. Jameson Williams, if he's healthy, and reports have started trickling out that he may be healthy almost right away. Amon Ross St. Brown. Yeah. Quentin Sivas actually Quentin Sivas has shown out a couple of times when there was nobody else, so he has talent. Like the wide receiver group's pretty nice, but I mean, DeAndre Swift is the one that gets me up in the morning here because, like, I think he has talent for days receiving out of the backfield. Jared Goff likes to dink and dunk. Like, as long as Swift stays healthy, he's the golden goose here. Now he's going ahead of some running backs that, in years past, he wouldn't. Now he's going right ahead of Javonte Williams, which I agree with. He's going ahead of Nick Chubb, Alvin Kamara, those running backs. If you scroll down a little bit, he's going ahead of running backs like Josh Allen and Saquon Barkley. I said that right. And so I like DeAndre Swift there. And honestly, I could sell myself on him above all of those guys. So that's a guy I'm really interested here. And then I'm not a fan of Hawkinson, but like it's probably because he just keeps disappointing people year after year, and everybody keeps saying like he's gonna. If this is the year, it could be.
Third year tight ends. Tight ends a tough position to get in the first couple of years. I like third year tight ends. I think Hawkinson should. This will be a good year for him.
Can we real quick, you guys? What do you? Swift is going is rated over Nick Chubb. I know the PPR is there, but that's really interesting to me because you're talking like 1,400 yards and 10 touchdowns from Chubb. Like,
but that's it's all about the PPR, probably.
I think it has more to do with Kareem Hunt than it does anything because Kareem Hunt eats a lot of Chubb's value and stuff like that. Whereas Jamal Williams really, I mean, if Swift can stay on the field, I don't really see Jamal Williams eating a lot of that.
But is that a no? Like, if you're looking at your, if you're in your draft and you're faced with that decision three times, let's say in three leagues, are you taking Swift over Chubb three out of three leagues?
I am.
No, I'd probably smatter Chubb in there. I like Chubb a lot this year too.
Yeah, I'd probably go 2-1 or 1-2.
No, I like Chubb too, but I think
that I am, and the reason
I think the upside so, if Swift stays healthy is much higher. I think. Than Chubb.
So last year,
all kinds of things. Sorry, George.
No, you're good. You're fine. Last year, DeAndre Swift started four games. He had he played in 13, but he started four. He had 151 attempts, 617 yards, five touchdowns. Where he makes his money is in the passing game. He had 78 targets for 62 with 62 receptions. That's where he makes his money over Chubb. If you extrapolate that out for a full season, all 17 games, he's getting over 100 targets coming out of the backfield. Now, granted, the wide receiver core last year was not the greatest, but even still, like 100 targets for your running back, that's PPR fantasy gold. That's what you want.
He only got eight in the last two games, but yeah, you're right.
But yeah, and that's why you take Swift over Chubb is for the PPR.
Yeah, and so honestly, if I'm in the back end of the first, I'm running back guy typically, and I might get them both.
Yeah, that wouldn't be too bad of a 1-2 punch right there to have on your fantasy lineup. So we like the wide receivers here. I know Jared was going off about Hockenson, and I'm, like I said, Hockenson on his third year, I'm really buying in on. I really feel like DeAndre Swift, we're looking at the running back two. Swift. yeah, I think we're looking at the running back two right there, right behind Jonathan Taylor. I think Swift is the running back two this year.
Didn't you have Swift over JT for a little bit there?
For a minute there, but I mean, like with and you know, it might stay that way, especially with Matt Ryan as quarterback. Matt Ryan at quarterback, he likes to throw that ball. I think Nyheim Hines is going to eat a lot more than people are going to give him credit for and things like that. So I feel like he'll finish one or two, but I'm still, I can't ignore Jonathan Taylor's season last year. I wanted him to be a third year breakout, and he came out about a year and a half into it and just looked really good. Another guy kind of like Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire will have his breakout this year as well.
Before we go off to the Packers, I do got one question. Does anybody think Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to be able to duplicate what he did last year? Or am I the only one that thinks that it's fool's gold and that he's not going to be nearly as heavily involved and not going to become remotely close to what he did last year?
I think this year I'm a big Amon-Ra St. Brown guy. And I don't think you're going to get quite the same impact as he did at the, you know, in the last six games of the season where he was averaging like, it's like 20 some fantasy points a game. But I still think there's DJ Shark isn't a great wide receiver. So it's someone to take coverage off of St. Brown. And Jameson Williams, even if he starts, rookie receivers don't usually, you know, really make an impact till the second half of the year once they get their, you know, reps in and, you know, get their chops. So I think Amon-Ra might be a nice addition in the beginning of the season because he already has the connection with Goff clearly because they tore it up last year. So I still think I think Amon-Ra is going right where he should in drafts, and I think he's totally worth the price. I think he'll pay off just fine. But like I said, I don't think he'll be the number. What was it? He was like the number two wide receiver during that stretch or something. It was ridiculous.
Hey, so yeah. So let's play a quick game, and it just has to be a quick yes or no answer. Mm-hmm. So around where Amon-Brown is going. Marquise Brown or Amon-Ra?
Amon-Ra.
Amon-Ra.
Amon-Ra. I'll take Marquise, actually. With Hopkins being out six games, I'll take Hollywood.
Okay. Amon-Ra or Courtland Sutton?
Sutton.
Courtland Sutton.
No, Amon-Ra. Amon-Ra.
Okay. Brown or Michael Thomas?
Give me Michael Thomas.
Amon-Ra.
I think about Amon-Ra, like, so with me, Amon-Ra was basically all by himself out there last year. I mean, who was out? Like, Danny Amendola was another receiver out there. Quentin Hockenson on the other side.
Hockenson was gone. Swift was gone. There was no other receiving targets. That gets to George's point about fool's gold.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
but you still have to be a good wide receiver. Like a very good wide receiver to do what he did.
Absolutely.
Because
a lot of his game was
a lot of yak. It was a lot of yards after the catch. And you still have to be able to get open for your quarterback to catch the ball. Like you don't put up numbers like he did being just anybody, you know.
Right. And touchdowns. Having Jared Goff as your quarterback on top of it.
Yeah. And touchdowns in five out of the last six games, all double digit targets.
Yeah. I don't know if he'll get double-digit targets every week, but I still think he'll, you know, pay off for where you're buying them.
My one issue with it is they believed so much in what he could do that they went out, they brought in DJ Chark, who has a 1,000-yard season on his record, and then they went out and invested high draft capital in another wide receiver. And now you're bringing back Hockenson and you're bringing back DeAndre Swift. Like, I think he's more of a wide receiver 3, and you're going to end up having to pay a wide receiver 2 prices for him. And I'm not willing to do that.
I definitely think he has at least wide receiver 2 upside. If not, you know, I don't think he'll crack the top 12, but he, like I said, I think he pays off for where you get him. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
I absolutely agree with that.
I think we just made a board bet, a toilet bowl bet. You think he'll finish as a wide receiver 2? I don't think he will. It sounds like a toilet bet to me.
I'll toilet him against Sutton any day. On that one, real quick, I think against Sutton, I think he beats Sutton without a doubt.
I will also take that.
I will also take that. I'll take both of those.
Somebody said, I don't even know who said Sutton, but I don't think it applies there.
Right here. Sutton, I think Sutton's going to be a stud this year, man. Russell Wilson's going to feed.
But he's got traffic too. So if Brown's going to lose because of traffic, how does it? And Sutton wasn't even that great last year.
Okay. But there's a vast difference between Russell Wilson at his peak and Jared Goff at his peak. I'm not coming down on one side. I do believe Sutton's going to be better than Brown. I don't think it's going to be like world's better. I don't care one. I don't think it's so egregious one side or the other. But Sutton was bad last year because he had the combination of Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater throwing him the ball, and he got an upgrade. Whereas St. Brown still has Jared Goff. So, like, I do think we're dwelling on the Lions, like, a lot longer. Like, they were one of the worst teams again. I'm just saying, like.
But I think they have a lot of solid fantasy options this year. They can stay healthy. I think this team is going to be very surprising. Like,
and DFS, too. Like, you're going to have so many those wide receivers, they're all going to be, they're all going to be under $5,000, five catches, 50 yards, and a touchdown, and Goff's going to throw it a lot. Swift is going to I do see some DFS cheap gold here.
Yeah, and I mean, we didn't even talk about Goff. I mean, we joked about him a couple times, but he's not a slump. Like, I think he's a solid wide receiver 2, quarterback 2 for like super flex, and I think he's got some upside with the pieces he has around him, you know. I'd probably even be willing in a one quarterback league. I'm a late round quarterback. I think I'd be okay with him going into the season, you know, and if it doesn't work out, I switch, you know, go to the waiver wire and pick somebody else up.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a guy that you can do that with. Jared Goff is a guy that's easy enough to gamble on. You can get him probably for nothing in most drafts. Cheaper. I mean, if you even have to draft him, you can probably waiver him after the draft, you know, drop a kicker or something like that, and then shoot out a 2-for-1 trade or something to that effect. Well, let's get to a more exciting situation here. Although this was actually kind of one that I was kind of excited for. At the Packers, we got Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, backed up by Jordan Love. The running backs here, I love Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon at the running back position. And then here's where we get a little bit murky in the whole scheme of things. We got Christian Watson at the wide receiver, Adam Lazard, Randall Cobb, Amari Rodgers at wide receiver. And that's really about the only names worth mentioning on that part as far as the wide receiver core goes. And then we got Tonyan and Mercedes Lewis at tight end. Alex, this is your team. You're sitting there with your Green Bay shirt, your Green Bay stock behind you. What do you think this team's going to do this year?
Draft the running backs. Draft all of the A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones you can possibly get. They're both going way cheaper. I honestly think that they could finish both in the top 12 this year because they're going to need them. They're not going to have an air game. I mean, I also think Aaron Rodgers is going a little bit later than he probably should because somehow he'll figure it out too. He'll still have Aaron Jones out there as a weapon, you know, in the receiving game. Lazard's, you know, he's not a great wide receiver. He's pretty average, but I think he's still good enough in the red zone to get those passing touchdowns up. But I am all about getting Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon in as many drafts as I possibly can because they are going to. I'm assuming that they're going to run like the 2 running back system and just pound them both down everyone's throats. Just one after the other.
Because like they're the old school Thomas Jones and Jamal Charles days for the Chiefs. You could literally play both those guys week after week fantasy wise and win games.
Yeah. I think because they're two totally different runners. They're going to use them in two totally different ways. Well, and in even sometimes in the same way too, because Aaron Jones, he, for being so much smaller than AJ Dillon, sometimes he hits dudes just as hard as I feel like AJ Dillon does. So they have the versatility between those two backs to do everything and anything they want with them. So I'm all about the running backs. The wide receivers, I'm kind of trying to stay away from. I don't really know who's going to pay off. But I also like Tonyan, but I think that's, grasping for.
Hey, Alex.
Yesteryear. Hey.
Alex, let me ask you a question real quick on these guys. So when I'm looking at Fantasy Pros, Jones is 11th and Dylan's 25th from a running back perspective. Is the gap going to be that big statistically by the end of the year? I'm feeling like it might not be.
No, not at all. I don't think so. Because they're going to have to use the backs so much that I don't think it's possible that it's like AJ Dillon's a huge discount in my eyes. But even Aaron Jones is a top five running back, for the last 2 years. Not last year. It was 2 years before that. But he was the running back 10 last year. So at running back 11, it's easy money for me. Like you can get him as your running back 2, and he's a top five running back. Like it's ridiculous. Just because everyone's, the whole offense is being depressed, so they're just getting pushed down with it. Yeah. But I think the offense is still going to rock and roll. It's not going to miss too much of a beat.
Hey, so for those of you listening as a podcast and not watching as a video, Mike brought his beautiful little baby and waving all over the place. So we're all kind of distracted. But it's awesome. It is awesome. It is a family show. And that is awesome, Mike. Anyway, sorry, that made me super happy. Sorry
about that. Yeah, she likes to do a photo drop every single show we have. So,
listen, Aaron Jones, he's going to get it in. They're saying he's lining out up in the slot. He's going to get his in the receiving. Looking back over his career and the splits when he didn't play with Devontae Adams, like he got two more receptions a game. He averaged 30 more yards receiving per game. His touchdowns are up, his rushing yards are up, his attempts are up. Like the splits between him and when Devontae Adams is not there, it's incredible. Go look it up. And then AJ Dillon was he was top 15 in every statistical category inside the red zone as far as carries inside the 20, the 10, the 5. So that's only going to get better for him this year is when they have to rely on him more. So I agree completely with Alex that I want both of those running backs. I honestly I'm leaning towards, if Lazard stays at his ADP, looking to take Alan Lazard as well. His ADP somewhere around 128. He's going after guys like Chase Claypool. He's going after guys like Christian Kirk and guys like that. So I'm super happy to take Lazard there, because what he does have is the trust of Aaron Rodgers. Not only has Aaron Rodgers come out and said it, but which is, it is what it is. A quarterback will say whatever, but you've seen it on the field that he trusts Lazard, and with Rodgers more than anybody, that's important. So last year, everybody talked about Chase dropping footballs, right? And that became a thing. And then he got on the field and he was a monster. Well, Joe Burrow doesn't have a history of not targeting guys because they drop balls on the field, but Aaron Rodgers does. So if reports of Christian Watson dropping passes in practice are true, Aaron Rodgers will stop going to guys if that becomes a thing. So I do worry about that a little bit for Christian Watson. And I'm willing to be the guy who says, don't pick him up like everybody else did with Chase last year because of that, because it's different with a quarterback like Rodgers who expects certain things from his players. And George, you had your finger up.
Yeah, I just wanted to go next. I didn't want to cut anybody off. The one thing that really concerns me, especially with Aaron Rodgers, is this team has lost over 2,000 receiving yards from last year. That's between Davante Adams, Equanimeous St. Brown, and Valdez Scantling. I don't see a world where Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, Watson, and Lazard, Cobb and Amari Rodgers with Tonyan and Mercedes Lewis can somehow all work together to replace that 2,000 yards. I just don't see a world where that happens. Aaron Rodgers is great. But you know what Aaron Rodgers has always had? A great wide receiver. And Watson may be a great wide receiver. We don't know. He's a rookie. Alan Lazard, we know he's not a great wide receiver. He's a competent wide receiver. He's a good wide receiver, but he's not a great wide receiver. You look at everybody talks about Aaron Jones and how they expect him to just soak up all these targets. And last year in 15 games, he had 65 targets and 52 receptions. That's fantastic. What's not talked about as much is A.J. Dillon's wide receiving prowess. He had 37 targets and 34 receptions. So he's involved in the passing game as well. It's just I don't see a team that is going to be able to produce like they have in the past. They don't have that elite weapon in the wide receiving core. Their wide receiving core is a bunch of guys, Alan Lazard, and potentially Christian Watson. He may be a thing. He might not. He's a rookie. We don't know. The tight end, Robert Tonyan and Mercedes Lewis, those are just guys. The running backs are fantastic, but if you have to lean on your running backs to carry your passing game, you're going to be in trouble. So I struggle to see where Aaron Rodgers is going to be a great quarterback this year. I don't see how he gets 37 touchdowns. I think he throws for more than 4 interceptions this year. I surely don't think he's going to throw for over 4,100 yards this year. And I would love to be proven wrong. It's not a knock to how great Aaron Rodgers is or has been. He's been fantastic. He's been an elite quarterback. But the weapons aren't just, they're just not there. They're just not.
So the thing I think what you're saying right here is making me love Amari Rodgers more and more, who's actually coming out of camp with a lot of good rapport and a lot of good things are being said about Amari Rodgers. I think Christian Watson can – so for a receiver, all you got to do is really learn a couple of route trees for Aaron Rodgers to make you look amazing. So, I mean, to me, Aaron Rodgers still the quarterback. You can make a lot of these guys look pretty okay at least. And I know Randall Cobb is one of those guys that is just been a part of it the whole time. So I'm actually not sold on just Jones and Dillon being the primary focus there. I think they will still be able to pass the ball. But boy, I sure do love Aaron Jones and AJ.
Yeah. Well, and the whole trust thing, that's why Tonyan has come back onto my radar, because that's another guy who has the trust and rapport with Rodgers. Like, you don't get 11 touchdowns in a season from Aaron Rodgers because he, happened to throw it your way. He was targeting him for those touchdowns. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, and which is exactly why Lazard probably won't do very well this year, because he doesn't have that trust.
Lazard got a lot of red zone targets last year, but Tonyan wasn't there. And Tonyan was a big red zone target 2 years ago. So I think that's why Tonyan is kind of creeping. I'm also a late round tight end guy, so I have to look for those, Tonyans and Taysom Hills and
absolutely.
My only other thing real quick, I was looking at the wide receiver rankings. Lazard's ranked ahead of Michael Gallup. And I don't know. I mean, I don't really have
Lazard. I would too, just because Gallup tore his ACL at the end of the season, so he might not even start the season.
I thought he came back at the end of the season. Tore it at the end. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That part. So that is fair.
Well, and I you just assume that Lazard is going to be – I'd rather have the – supposed wide receiver one with Rodgers, yeah, than Gallup as the wide receiver two with Dallas. You know,
that's an interesting point, because my next question real quick, because there was one other one that was interesting to me, and that was Tyler Boyd. But now you're talking about a number three. So I
yeah, you know, no, I'd much rather have, I'd take the shot on Alan Lazard before I take Boyd. I love Boyd as a wide receiver three, you know, if that's where I'm going to get him. But, you know, I'm not going to take him over guys that potentially have, you know, the top spot on their team.
Absolutely agree with that. And so with that, we're going to go ahead and get into the Vikings. The Vikings have Kirk Cousins and Sean Mannion at quarterback. They got Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison at the running back position. Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, KJ Osborne, BZ Johnson, Jalen Naylor, you brought her, and Albert Wilson at the wide receiver spot, Irv Smith Jr. and Ben Ellison at tight end. Jason, why don't you go ahead and kick us off with this one?
I mean, Dalvin Cook is still a monster. He's going, I think, ADP 8th. Like, whoever drafts Dalvin Cook 8th is going to be super happy. I guess you got to worry about health like you do with all the top running backs. But, you know, he's running back 6, 8th overall. That's, I mean, I think he's getting disrespected pretty hard as far as, like, being that far down on the draft board. Because year in and year out, he's one of the few actual difference makers. There's a little hint. So I mean, obviously Justin Jefferson is one of the best wide receivers in the league. You take him over almost all the other wide receivers not named Cooper Kupp. Thielen is a value again. Thielen gets disrespected more than any wide receiver. Everybody thinks, like, this is the year. It's kind of like Tom Brady a little bit, where, like, everybody wants to predict the end for Adam Thielen. Like, this is the year he falls off. This is the year he falls off. And then, you know, he keeps going out and having good seasons and then getting hurt. But, like, where he's being drafted right now, there's a lot of value there, especially early in the season. So I'm in on, I mean, look, Albert Wilson's been an underrated wide receiver when he plays everywhere he's gone. So gadget plays, not really for fantasy, like, not really for fantasy, but, like, I think having guys like OBC Johnson and Osborne and Albert Wilson is that it makes your offense good from, like, a football point of view, which means you're going to have scoring opportunities, right? So, like, guys that you don't want, like Albert Wilson on as a fantasy player, makes it so the guys you do want are that much better because they get opportunities down towards the red zone. And so, like, so Thielen's better because Albert Wilson's on this team. Cousins is better. You know, Kirk Cousins is always a quarterback one and never gets drafted that way. He's a guy I would stream over somebody like Jared Goff. But anyway,
So hard to put in your position, though. I mean, like, I know average. He always finishes as a one. But I swear to God, he does that in 3 games. In the other 12 games, you're sitting there going, gosh dang it, Kirk Cousins is my quarterback.
I mean, you can pick at least 2 of them against the Lions every year.
Yeah, fair enough.
So,
yeah.
So
I mean, I'm taking Cousins over Goff too. But, you know, you're going to have to pay a bit more for Cousins. Because he gets disrespected, but he's still, you know, he's right outside that quarterback. He's right outside that – Do you have the ADPs up? Where's his ADP right now?
Yeah, give me 1 second. I got I was on wide receivers, so
because like you still have to you I think you're paying his price.
Kirk Cousins is 15th quarterback off the board, 108 overall.
Yeah, so
wow, that's crazy.
He's ahead of Tua. I don't agree with that.
No,
I do. Same. 1,000%.
Same. I just don't. I don't like his non-rushing ability that he has. I know Tua isn't the best runner either, but I mean, I think he'll still be able to get you a few more yards than Kirk Cousins will. Kirk Cousins runs like John Elway.
So let's be fair too. Deshaun Watson is above Kirk Cousins right now, so like we'll call him quarterback 14 because just you know, just because ADP hasn't caught up with all the news yet. So, but still, I mean, he's. He's a quarterback one, and there are a couple games on his schedule, the Bears bad defense, the Lions bad defense, for example, where you can slot him in and say those are going to be quarterback one, not overall, but like top 12 weeks if you're a late quarterback guy. Yeah, it's never, I never think I'm going to put Kirk Cousins in and get 30, 40 points, but it's also like, I typically can put Kirk Cousins in and not have that position kill me that week.
And he always plays really, he plays up to the Packers too. So you can put him in for those weeks.
George,
as long as it's not
the weeks you want to sit Kirk Cousins is a primetime game. But what I find interesting, like Kirk Cousins, yeah, he's very disrespected as far as a fantasy quarterback goes. In 16 games last year, he threw for more yards than Aaron Rodgers, and he only had 4 touchdowns less than Aaron Rodgers. He also had 3 interceptions more than Aaron Rodgers. So, like, he's – like, and Aaron Rodgers was fantasy gold last year. Like he was – drafted later than he should have been, and he was absolutely freaking phenomenal. And Kirk Cousins is going out here and putting up very similar yards, similar touchdowns, and just a couple more interceptions. Like, he's always that – he's the old Matthew Stafford, and Jason knows what I mean by that. Like, he's that quarterback you can take late because you know you can put him in, and he's going to give you quarterback one numbers almost every single week. It's the disrespect that Kirk Cousins gets from the fantasy community is honestly, it's downright disrespectful. As far as the running back goes, like I can't say anything else that Jason didn't say about Dalvin Cook. Nearly 1,200 yards in 13 games last year. He's that guy that you put in your lineup and you set it and forget that, you know. Every week, he's really not going to kill you. He's going to go out. He can actually win you weeks, 9 targets in those 13 games last year. The guy I really like is Alexander Mattison. Like, if I'm drafting a running back late, we all know Dalvin Cook does consistently have an injury history. So I love grabbing that Alexander Mattison late and plugging him right in when you know Cook's going to be out for a game or two here and there. And this wide receiver core is really freaking phenomenal. Adam Thielen, like Jason said, is completely just disrespected. All the guy does is go out and catch touchdowns for this team. He had 10 of them last year. Him and Justin Jefferson were tied for the same amount of touchdowns on this team. And I don't think people realize that. He's a solid fantasy contributor, and he produces week in, week out. People want to write him off as washed and no longer any good, but he just goes out and proves you wrong year in, year out. I love KJ Osborne. I think he's very underrated. This team as a whole is a very, very good team. I think they can challenge for the division this year.
From a DFS perspective, this team gets fun once they're injured. Like, if you think about it, we all love Mattinson when Cook's out. And when I look at these wideouts, I think about the flashes that we got from Osborne and Johnson last year. And I'm certainly not rooting for injury, but they're going to be fun fantasy-wise when Thielen goes down. Osborne DFS is going to be great if he bumps up to the number 2, and then you get Johnson as the number 3. So, like, and again, Mattinson's going to be cheap. So I they're one of those teams where they kind of get fantasy interesting once they go. You got to go down the depth chart a little bit.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how Irv Smith shows up this year, too. We were all excited for him before he tore his ACL. And then Conklin got a ton of work, especially in the red zone last year. So, yep. Like, I think Irv Smith could be a steal for where he's going to, because he's a late round tight end right now. I'm pretty sure he's either late or like mid late, but he's still going way lower than he was last year. When we were all excited. Well, when we were excited for him before he got hurt.
Yeah,
fair point. So, I like KJ Osborne because you can get him for a song too. And I feel like he's going to be like, because you're definitely going to be paying attention to Jefferson. You're definitely going to be paying attention to Thielen because just like you guys, to your point, he loves to score touchdowns. Well, teams don't like having touchdowns scored on them. So they put a little bit of focus on him too. I think KJ Osborne could really open it up. And I think Irv Smith Jr. should be able to take a big step forward this year too as well. He's one of those sneaky tight ends that I like, you know, one of those.
It's his third year.
Well, yep. Alex just made 2 great points. Alex made two great points there on Smith. He just sold me. First of all, short-term memory with everybody fantasy-wise. I forgot about the momentum he had going into last year. And then the other great point is Conklin did end up like a really sneaky target guy. And those got to be replaced. So you kind of just sold me right there on Smith Jr. at the end of the tight end, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And it's not like – I know Thielen was hurt a little bit last year, but Osborne stepped right in for him, and Jefferson was still doing his thing, and Conklin was still getting targets. Yeah. You know, and Madison and Cook, you know, whoever happened to be in was still getting theirs too. You know, I know their running backs don't get nearly as much as some of the other teams, but you know, usually those running backs, it's either running backs or tight ends that get the ball. And it seems that they like the tight end, you know, getting the ball in this scheme. So, you know, and they're, and I know that, you know, the coaching change might change things up a little bit, but if anything, it's just going to make it more pass heavy. So it's going to add to the receivers and the tight ends and, you know, maybe even the running backs in the receiving game too.
Bring us home, Michael.
Yeah. Okay. So now let's go ahead and get to the next phase right here. And actually it's up to you, Joe. You're the guy who asked the questions here.
All right. I'll start with quarterbacks. Let's do this. We've got, Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, Justin Fields, and Mr. Goff. I'm going to go Aaron Rodgers here because he's Aaron Rodgers. But if strictly fantasy-wise, and George gave some good stats where the yardage and the touchdowns, there wasn't a real the gap wasn't as large as people think if you're just doing it by name. I think this is going to be really close by the end of the year, strictly fantasy point related, but I will still take Aaron Rodgers as the best fantasy quarterback in the division.
Yeah, I'm going to say Kirk Cousins.
Dude,
and I'm on it because there's Devontae Adams is gone. Like George said earlier, like if you have to rely on your running backs, look, hopefully for Alex's sake, like Christian Watson's a huge stud, and I'm eating my – well, I don't have a hat, but I'm eating my hat at the end of this year, you know, when I say this. But Kirk Cousins has all the weapons that Aaron Rodgers wishes he has. So I'm going to say – it's just odd to say, but I'm going to say Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, if you couldn't tell by my reaction, I know if you're listening at home and not watching, I did a fist pump. I thought I was going to be the only one to take Kirk Cousins. I just look at these two rosters, okay? Forget the name brand and all that and the history of what Aaron Rodgers has been able to do. But let's say Christian Watson is good. Justin Jefferson is better, where we all agree. Alan Lazard is not better than Adam Thielen. KJ Osborne is a lot better than Randall Cobb. The running backs are pretty much tied, and the tight ends are pretty much tied as well. Like, I just think overall, Kirk Cousins has the better weapons. He's got the number one wide receiver in my opinion, in fantasy football, and Justin Jefferson. So I'm going Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I could definitely see it being a lot closer than it normally is, but I think I'm still taking Aaron Rodgers. I agree with everything you just said, George. Kirk Cousins has the better weapons. With the stats being very close, but I think I still want one of the greatest quarterbacks of all times over Kirk Cousins.
I mean, Tom Brady had some decent fantasy years with pretty crap wide receivers in New England. Uh-huh. And
I think y'all are way too low on Justin Fields, who's by far, no, I'm just kidding. For me, it's actually, it is actually Aaron Rodgers. I just don't see – I mean, it doesn't matter what kind of core you put around him. That guy's going to huck it, and he's going to huck it a lot, and he's going to huck it accurately.
He's still going to be a top 10, yeah. You know.
Yes. I mean, I do see the argument for Kirk Cousins here for sure, but for my money, I'm going Aaron Rodgers every time.
So we get juicy here with the running backs. We got Dalvin Cook, Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon. I'll throw them both in there. Why not? DeAndre Swift. And David Montgomery, Mr. Underrated. It is Dalvin Cook. It's a great division of running backs, but I do think it's a healthy Dalvin Cook still. George?
Yeah.
Switched it up this time, right? I should. No, you know what?
Let Jason go. They're going to kick him off that corner.
Seamless.
They're
going to kick him off the Jason it up around.
All right. Okay, so I'm going to I'm going to go DeAndre Swift. Look, I said Dalvin Cook was Dalvin Cook was disrespected. I'm going to disrespect him a little bit right here. I just think George's numbers earlier were perfect about how I feel about DeAndre Swift and his potential for 100-plus targets and like 80-plus receptions, and I think that's really hard to overcome. You know, they both have health issues, so of those two, like, it's a concern with either one of them, so that's a push to me. So DeAndre Swift for me. George.
I'm gonna go DeAndre Swift as well. Not just because he has the 100 target potential, which I think he will actually eclipse this year, with the caveat, of course, you know, if he stays healthy. But you look at AJ Dillon as the backup for Aaron Jones. So those two are going to be on the field a lot, but you know, Dillon's still going to get his. You look at Cook and Madison, like, you know, Madison is still going to come in. He's going to play a pivotal role for that team. They will use Madison on the goal line. Like, nothing is more frustrating as a Dalvin Cook owner is seeing, you know, the running back run it in for a touchdown, and it was Alexander Madison, and not DeAndre, not Dalvin Cook. And you couldn't tell the difference because with the football gear and all that on, they looked identical. And you look at what Swift has behind him. No disrespect to Jamal Williams, but Jamal Williams isn't on the level of those other two guys. So I think he'll be on the field more and more heavily involved in both the passing game and the rushing game.
Yeah. I think I'm going to have to go Swift as well. It's really close between Jones, Cook, and Swift for me. Cause I think Jones is a top five, but I think Swift is maybe top three, top two. He definitely has the potential. If he can stay healthy, that's the one thing I like about Jones is ever since he had a couple injury riddled seasons, he's been pretty healthy, you know, since then, but I still think DeAndre Swift has the higher upside of everyone. So I would take him first in a draft.
Yeah, Ben, give me Swift all day. I mean, you guys have heard me before say I think he's going to be the running back one this year. And so, I mean, if I'm that high on him, even just against the whole NFL, I'm definitely up on him in this division.
I wish I was confident that he'd play more games than Cook, and I'm just not.
That's a good point. I mean, the only thing we're worried about with Swift is his injury. And if we can keep away from injuries, he's going to be a stud this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be a close race between the three top guys there. Yeah. And don't snuff Montgomery either. You know, he's not too far behind everybody else if he can stay healthy too.
That's the funny thing about this division. Like, we're talking about Aaron Jones. We're talking about AJ Dillon. We're talking about Dalvin Cook. We're talking about DeAndre Swift. Let's not forget about David Montgomery. Like, he's a good running back. Like this division has really good running backs in it. Like, it's phenomenal.
This division in the AFC, North, right?
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, Tennessee.
That's AFC South.
The real issue we have with Montgomery compared to the rest is just how bad that offense is looking. Like, the touchdown opportunities are just so much less for Montgomery than these other guys. So, and that's why he's behind. But the talent's there, clearly. Yeah,
no. He'll still probably be a top 15 running back.
You know? Oh yeah.
It's just we're talking about three other guys that could be top five, you know, running backs.
Volume is king, and David Montgomery is going to get the volume.
Yep.
I don't know how I just put Tennessee in the AFC North. As soon as we're done here, I'll be looking at the globe. The wide receiver, and this is going to be challenging to even call this group up. So I'm going to say Darryl Mooney. We're going to go Lazard.
It's Justin Jefferson. We're all going to say Justin Jefferson.
Right.
We'll save you the trouble.
Can we go to – is it actually a conversation to say who's the second best?
It's still Thielen.
It's Thielen.
I think Amon-Ra St. Brown comes in there.
Yeah, I guess so.
I would probably say Mooney.
Actually, I will go Mooney as the second best wide receiver in that division.
Okay, so
I'm there with you.
Second gets a little, you know, a little dicier.
It does.
Second is Brown for me, and then Thielen, and then Mooney. But I completely understand any other.
I will gladly admit I am lower on Brown than most.
Yeah.
Right, well, and if Thielen wasn't 32 or 33, he might be the number two wide receiver in the division right now. But
tight end, Komet, Irv Smith Jr., Hockenson, and
Tonyan.
Yeah. Mr. Tonyan. This is kind of an interesting.
That's one. Actually not a bad tight end. I mean, that's probably one of the better tight ends stash or groups we've talked about yet. Like,
yeah,
as far as tight ends go.
I know Hockenson's supposed to be the no-brainer there, but Tonyan's got to have a real good shot at double-digit touchdowns this year, I would think.
If you think Aaron Rodgers is going to be good, then Tonyan has to have a big. Yeah. Yeah, he just has to.
So I guess I guess in a PPR, though, and everything, I've been conservative with all my picks here, so I'm going to stick with Hockenson. But I'm most excited about Tonyan.
Well, so if you ask me who I would draft, it would be Tonyan because I'm a late tight end guy and you have to pay a lot for Hockenson. So if you're 100%. Asking me who I would draft, it's going to be Tonyan of the two. If you ask me who's going to have more fantasy points at the end of the year, it's going to be Hockenson. And I don't think he returns value. But I do think he's going to have more total fantasy points, and that's what we're doing here. So
well said.
So Hockenson,
that's well said.
It's Hockenson. George. It's Hockenson. Well, I don't need to elaborate.
It's Tonyan for me. I think Hockenson's a bum.
I don't think Hockenson's a bum, but I do feel like the price you're getting, I do feel like Tonyan's about the only guy left in Green Bay that is going to be catching a lot of passes out there until I can see what Christian Watson can do, until I can see if Adam Lazard took a step forward. For me, it's also Tonyan, although it's very close. I do like me some Hockenson a lot this year.
I just can't deny what we saw the last time Tonyan played a full season. You know what I mean? Like, and that's when it was 2 years ago.
It was 2 years ago. It was a totally different team. You had somebody who could take coverage away from the tight end. You got nobody taking coverage away from the tight end on this team. Come on, man.
What are they going to double cover Tonyan?
No, they're going to single cover him, but they're going to use their second or third. They're probably going to end up using their second or third best coverage cornerback against him. Where 2 years ago, you had Devontae Adams getting double coverage everywhere. Like, no, it's. Defenses are not going to be scared of
one day's offense. You're not putting your one and two in bracket.
You'll put your cornerback one on Christian Watson. You'll put your cornerback two on
Lazard.
And you don't have to double team him. And you could put your cornerback two on Lazard. You don't have to double team him.
He's going to see linebackers. He's not going to see the cornerback three.
It's hard to cover a tight end with a quarterback.
If he has a season, you're
in big trouble.
Yeah, he's not going to be covered by anyone of any importance.
Absolutely, he will.
I think to George's point, there's going to be a lot less open space. And even if you're not covering him with your best corner, which is not going to happen, there's not going to be as wide open shots. And, Tonyan catching a lot of touchdowns was a product of the fact that Devontae Adams was really good in the red zone. And so you had to cover him up and down the field. Don't get me wrong, but you had to put a lot of coverage on Devontae Adams to keep him out of the end zone. And there's nobody on this team that you're worried about there this year besides Tonyan. And again, you're not sliding the best coverage over to him. It's just there's going to be a lot of less wide open space for him to roam. And that's what I think is probably George's best argument as far as like the coverage not being the same versus like who exactly is going to cover him. It's just going to be there's going to be less open space on the field because you don't have anybody to draw more attention. So I think that's a fair assessment.
I get what you're saying. I don't know. I just if, especially if they're gonna get to the red zone, you know, they're still gonna be able to move the ball. And Rodgers loves, he's gonna throw touchdowns, so someone's gonna have to catch him. So I don't mind taking the chance on Tonyan. I know it's kind of a big, it's kind of you know, taking Tonyan over Hockenson. But I don't know. I'm just not a big Hockenson fan though, and they have a lot more weapons there now versus when Hockenson was productive. You know, yeah.
You were about to say Rodgers loves throwing touchdowns, and I feel like that should be a t-shirt.
He does though.
It's a huge statement of fact.
That's how you get 4 MVPs is by throwing a ton of touchdowns, you know. Unless we see 19 rushing touchdowns between the two running backs, like, you know, like Aaron Jones had a couple of years ago. That was one of the, you know, Rodgers' down years in passing touchdowns, and that was just because they were all on the ground. So that's possible too, but I don't know. I feel like Rodgers wants to go out and try to win the MVP without Davante Adams. And I think it's still
kind it's of not possible. Gonna happen.
I don't think it's it not will, possible. But I think it's possible.
Until we see it, I don't ever count Aaron Rodgers out for sure. No. But guys, we're an hour and five. We're about 20 minutes over the 45-minute mark on there. We got Nate saying Jones is a weapon and going to have a stellar year. And I mean, yeah, Joe Clark says, but he'd still take as the tight end one out of the NFC North. I can agree with both of those statements right there. But with that, guys, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. Once again, make sure you guys get in there. Frankenstank, two spots left. Make sure you give us those 5-star reviews. Get on that YouTube. Get on that Facebook. Give us likes. Give us review. Give us the reviews. Give us something. And if you can't give us something, join our Patreon. Give us a few bucks. Buy us a cup of coffee. It's / Toilets to Titles. Just get on there. We get on the Discord chat. You pay up to like 10 bucks, 15 bucks, I think it is. You're going to have us in your pocket, and you're going to have us in your pocket at the most crucial time, which is draft time. You can get all these guys out here. We'll be hopping in there. We're going to go ahead and go. Guys, thank you so much for joining me again. It's always a pleasure. And this is exactly what happens. We get to, George has one thing to say here.
Yeah. Sorry. If you go to our Twitter page, we, are fortunate enough to be giving away a Scott Fishbowl entry. So yes. Go to our Twitter page. All you have to do is show a picture of you doing something charitable. It could be a beach cleanup. It could be feeding the homeless. It could be making a monetary contribution to any type of charity. That is the requirement to get into the Scott Fishbowl. It's just doing something charitable, you know, something good for humanity. Go there, just put a picture of you doing it. That automatically enters you into the sweepstakes. We will be giving away that spot live next Tuesday when we have Ryan McDowell on and doing our Scott Fishbowl episode. And Mike, I didn't mean to cut you off on the outro, but I wanted to get that in.
That's a good call there, George. I appreciate you cutting me off right there for sure. I just wish these kind of contests were around when I woke up when I was about 19 years old with the homeless guy on my couch, and I walked upstairs and I just cooked the guy breakfast. I was like, here you go, dude. I'm like, yeah, have a good day. And he went on his way.
You cooked Jason breakfast?
Yeah, homeless Jason. You got it, you know. You want him to come back. I'm telling you. Once he's at your house once, you want him to come back.
If you're looking at this, he cooked me a lot of breakfast.
Yeah, he hasn't left yet. He's actually down in my basement right now. So with that, guys, we're going to go ahead and call it tonight. The Blitz crew here, we thank you so much, and we will see you guys next week.